Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in. Time for Daily Editorial. It is Friday. Jimmy and I believe have already done a Daily Editorial. This one's very important. It's probably the biggest event that happened today, specifically earlier today. The telephone call between Biden and Xi Jinping. I did quite a bit of research on it, as did Jimmy. Jimmy's very familiar with the relationship between Xi and Putin. He's very familiar with the fact that Xi is really looking out for himself, but in doing so, he really has to consider what's going on with Russia. They do have that 30-year agreement in terms of supply of oil from Russia, oil and gas from Russia to China. Having said that, Jimmy and I are in complete agreement that that telephone call would appear to have been much ado about nothing. Jimmy, take it away, bud.
Yeah, the Chinese, Xi, they released very specific points of the conversation after 2 hours of dialogue with the Biden, the guy that's sitting, puppet that's sitting in the White House right now.
Right.
The unfortunate reality is the Biden regime is responding to events. They're not dictating events. The Chinese reiterated that they don't look at this as a war, but a crisis and a special operation. It's kind of the words that that Putin has used. They made it clear that there's no negotiation, no agreement right now. However, the Biden administration reiterated in almost an appeasement, hey, Taiwan is not a separate part of China. We recognize that. We're not going to change our policy. Basically appeased them. And the words that they used afterward were very, very bland, very diplomatically oriented. So that would indicate there was no specific agreements. The meeting was specifically designed towards the Chinese offering military aid to Russia. And then, of course, Biden in the White House is saying that there will be consequences for their action. And Jen Psaki said, well, you know, we want to know, you know, the Chinese ought to think about how they'll be remembered in history, which is very close to what she said with the Taliban is they were taking over Kabul. They need to know how they're going to be remembered in history. They're going to be remembered in history as an authoritarian dictatorship. The Taliban's going to be remembered history as a, you know, religious dictatorship.
Right.
And they don't care. They don't care what we think or what, you know, Jen Psaki and the progressive liberal idiots in this nation think.
Right.
And of course, they look at this as an economic and a financial opportunity to gain more control over the world as they've tied themselves in very closely. And the Biden administration is failing miserably to understand the dynamic in this conflict and taking actions to protect American interests.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have to say that on the surface, you know, Australia is supporting us, as is Japan. But I have to say, on the surface, I think Putin, if he's looking out for Russia, which I believe he is, I think he's doing a terrible thing, don't get me wrong. But again, by the same token, I think that he is doing what in his mind is the best defensive action he can ultimately take for his country. Comments?
Well, I will disagree strongly that this is the best defensive action. It's the best offensive action.
Okay.
He initiated this conflict. But I do see your point, and your point is a valid one. He's taking actions based on what he thinks protects him and his very close network of oligarchic power there. And that's a marriage of convenience with the same type of authoritarian leaders in China.
Uh-huh.
And of course, as the United States fails to address corruption, fails to address the internal issues, fails to address the massive growing debt in the United States, fails to address the border, fails to address the violence and the hate that's gone on, and of course, the failures with the COVID response across the board. They're looking at this as an opportunity. When a small group of people decide they're going to take advantage of it, that's what we're facing right now, and it's devastating to the world. And regardless of what people argue out there, we have many people, and many of our listeners and many conservatives are out there saying, hey, look, You know, this isn't our problem. It's not our fault. We all live in the same world. Unfortunately, we are obligated to one another based on economics, based on integrity. And, you know, when something like this happens, to sit back and just say, hey, that's their problem, and all those children and the families and the hotel apartment buildings and the are being destroyed, communities are being destroyed. When does it stop? And it's apparent that Vladimir Putin is using every action to push forward. With Chinese support, they would be in the world would be in a very precarious position defending against it, as NATO's weakness has shown.
Well, I have to say this, and that is, with Chinese support, and in essence, Russia is doing a very, very good move, was to do the 30-year oil and natural gas supply agreement. That was a very good thing for China to do. I agree completely with what you're saying about Biden is not really being proactive. I don't feel that he is. He's not taking the actions that the United States perhaps should be taking. He is simply reacting to what China does and to what Russia does. And I think it has to go a lot deeper than that. I cannot imagine some of our past presidents, some of our better past presidents, having taken the exact opposite action. For example, Reagan wouldn't stand for something like this, but he would figure out a way to make it go away, as he made the Berlin Wall go away by being proactive. But he would not. I don't think that Reagan would put the United States in the danger that this mess could put us in, Jimmy.
Well, I think they're a lot more professional. And what we have now is unprofessional.
Yeah.
Pardon me? I'm not arguing with you. I'm reinforcing your point.
Yeah.
The Reagan administration was a lot more professional. The Bush administration, the first Bush administration, was more professional.
Right.
Even Bush 2 was more professional than this. Certainly the Trump administration was more professional than these people that are running national security policy for the United States right now.
Right.
And when you have someone like Susan Rice, who's the political director behind Biden, when you have Ron Klain, and when you have Jake Sullivan, and you've got Anthony Blinken, and you've got our Secretary of the Weakness, Lloyd Austin, who was the failed leader of CENTCOM from 2013 to 2016 that allowed ISIS to go from the JV team to the size of Texas, ringing in billions of dollars.
Right.
You've got a failed set of national security advisors right now and principals that are more worried about not offending anyone than taking actions that will defend not only the global economic system, but the American people. And it appears to me that they are interested in undermining the entire world system. And this is what I'm afraid of, that there are people actively pursuing, people like John Kerry in this administration, that are saying, you know what, this is a good idea to go ahead and raise oil prices. This is a good idea to cause inflation. It will bring us, you know, help us in the climate change objective in the long term. How ignorant is that? To think that authoritarian leaders in China and Russia give a damn about their global climate agenda. They're using it as an influence operation in order to undermine Western power and Western economies.
Yeah.
And that's what's so disturbing to me.
Well, the Chinese are very smart people, as I have said, based on my experience over the years, over many, many years. And I'd have to say, I don't think anything is going to happen this weekend. They don't work that fast. But I think certainly the Corlin Economics Report on the radio next week will be entirely different than it was this week, in the sense that I think that we could have, potentially we could have, a very serious situation on our hands. You got the final word, Jimmy.
Yeah, I say we're already there. I've said it before. We've already entered an information war that's the newest type of warfare. It will change. It is a revolution in warfare. And the manipulation, the propaganda from both sides are absolutely undermining reality or the ability to respond effectively to stop not only the violence, but the aggression that is basically being pandered by people that want financial, economic, and authoritarian control. And that includes U.S. companies that are buying into China and media companies that are supporting this administration without questioning them.
You don't think
disgusting.
You don't think Xi Jinping isn't aware of that?
Oh, he's loving it. In my view, he's helping orchestrate it. This is a whole idea called unrestricted warfare that they started planning in the late 90s through their general staff college. A couple of colonels wrote a plan, and it seems to me that they're effectively executing that plan that doesn't use direct military confrontation with the United States because they know they can't win it, but undermines every other aspect of Western power in order to achieve their philosophical view of how the world should be run.
Completely agree, Jimmy. You guys out there, what do you think? I'm not going anywhere. I'll be on the blog. I want to hear what you have to say.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.